Our passage today is James 5, verse 13, and it starts this way. Is anyone among you in trouble? Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. James has been giving some direction to his readers, and he's been helping people learn to live as a different culture. They all grew up Jewish, most of his readers. Some of his readers would have been Gentile as well. But he is saying to them, there's now a new way to live. What you knew isn't how we're going to be anymore. Now we're going to step into a new way of being. And through the course of chapters 2 through 5, he lays out some directions on how to live as this new person. And as we get to the end of his book, he wants to remind them that God is involved in everything. 10 days ago, I had a phone conversation with somebody who said to me, I just don't remember to think about God. And I thought, yeah, I get that. Like, how often do I go through days and, man, I can be preparing a sermon, I can be teaching, I can be working from Scripture, but I'm really not living alert to the invading presence of God. I'm not wired in. And this 20-year-old guy said to me, I want to be alert to God, but I just forget. And James, in this last section, seems to want to encourage people to live alert to God. Because we can just go on with life. We can just go and almost give lip service to a God who's involved, but we don't act as if he's there and active. I remember, as a young guy, when I was still working with my dad and brothers on the farm, coming to this realization, and I don't remember how it happened, but this realization that God actually wanted to be involved in life. And one day, just being very aware for that day that everything I did, while I did everything, that God was active with me. And the task of the day was tearing down one of those old square granaries that used to dot the landscape. And I have never forgotten being alert that God was there. But I have forgotten in thousands of days since that God is there. You know, I sort of had that moment, oh, God is active here. God is present with me. And then you fade off again. 16th century writer named Brother Lawrence wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. The practice, the habit, and the practice, the learning of the presence of God. That I have to learn to live alert to God. And that seems to be where James is going. We're going to pick up at James 5:13, but I'll just back up a little bit. Starting in chapter 5, verse 7, James reminds them of the need for patience because life will have difficulty. Trouble will come. Endure and be patient. And he uses the illustration of the farmer who waits for the crops. God is in control. Verse 10, persevere, plug on, just keep waiting. Because life is going to have difficulty. Life is going to have struggle. And then in verse 12, he acknowledges that sometimes when we face trouble, one of our responses can be to say, I'll bargain with God. So he just throws in a verse that is very reminiscent of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, as much of James is, that says, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. And one response to difficulty is to start to bargain with God, to make oaths. God, if you come through, then I promise I will fill in the blank. God, if that girl will just pay attention to me, I promise. God, if I don't drown, I promise. And we start making oaths. And in difficulty, I start to bargain with God. And James just reminds his readers, you don't have to bargain. Just be a person of integrity. So then what do I do when I'm in trouble? And let's pick up and read at verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? I think I touched the trouble back there. Somebody's in trouble up here. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make them well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. A writer named Dallas Willard has given me the phrase, and I assume it's original to him, the with God life. That we are invited to live a with God life. We are, and at least I am, and I think most of us are, by nature, naturalists. We are people who assume the earth is natural. Cause and effect. What I do leads to consequences. But when I come to Jesus, I'm introduced to a supernatural life. The with God life becomes possible. And James invites us to be people who include God in all of life. And it's not natural to us. Do you ever have that thing on your computer pop up that says, for help, click here? And I always think it's a scam, and I never will. Because I think I can figure it out. I can do it myself. And I don't very often use those help things on the computer. I don't very often turn to others for help. And as James begins wrapping up his book, he says to his readers, you know, you could have God involved in your everyday life. You could live this with God life. In fact, you could invite God's presence in your life. And he's encouraging a God-dependent, other-dependent life. And the way we do that is prayer. So is any of you in trouble? And the word for trouble here is just a generic difficulty word that says, is any of you having difficulty? What should you do? Well, you can respond with anger. You can get mad when you face trouble. That's pretty common. You can respond with stoic resignation. I'll just tough it out. But you know, James says, you could pray. You could say, hey, I'm not going to be a naturalist. I'm going to include God in this. I'm going to live this with God life. In fact, the best recourse is to pray. And so he probably means we pray for strength to endure this hard situation. And yeah, we do that. But he also means we pray for help, that we click the help button. And we invite God's presence. And it's so strange to me how I don't turn to help, I don't turn to other people for help, and I don't quickly turn to God. I kind of do, but so often I want to tough it out on my own. And James' first example of this with God life is, hey, when you're in trouble, include God. Learn to live alert. And this is not rocket science. You go, well, of course. But of course we don't do it. Of course, it's a habit that's hard to continue on in, to live constantly alert to God, to break into prayer when life throws difficulty at us. You know, I don't want my kids to help me with technology. They desperately want to. I don't want people to help me fix things. I want to be able to do it myself. I want to prove I can handle it. And sometimes life throws difficulty, and I want to prove I can handle it. We don't always turn to God when we're in trouble. We kind of think we will. But sometimes. There's this haunting story in 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. A king named Asa. And it's 2 Chronicles 16, and you can read it. In fact, you can do that right now. Like, that's great. And Asa is a guy who had been faithful. He was one of the rare, almost, faithful kings of Israel. And he had been responsive to God throughout his life. But he made a fatal error towards the end of his reign where he abused some of his people needlessly. And he got a disease in his feet. And there's this haunting verse in 2 Chronicles 16 where it says that even in his illness, he did not turn to the Lord for help, but only depended on the doctors. And that has stuck with me for so many years. That I can be faithful for a long time, but I also have the potential to not turn to the Lord for help. Even in the face of an obvious physical affliction, I can be so independent. Ah, but I'm independent all the time. And so James says, hey, you have a God who wants to be active in life. I have a great idea. Include him. Really? And then he gives another example. How else could I include God in life? Is anyone happy? Sing songs of praise. Celebrate. Include God. Exuberance can draw us to God. Ah, exuberance can draw us away. We can use that as an opportunity for independence. I did it. I didn't have to push help. I made it. Or my celebration, my happiness can turn me to God. And I can include God. The response is to sing praises. And what James is getting at in these verses is God is not distant. You can live a with God life. I get to choose the interaction I have with him. And sometimes we give lip service to having an act of God involved. Yeah, we use them sometimes, but man, I am a naturalist who assumes that at my deepest core, life is up to me. And James is driving us to say, no, there is a God of the universe who is involved, and you can step beyond the cause and effect, I did this so that happened stuff, to say, God will jump in on life. And we're so scientifically shaped, we're so independent, that we can just start giving lip service to God. And the invitation of James is, just come. And then the third illustration of including God. Is anyone sick? Call the elders. What do we do when we're sick? Well, we look for help. We go to the doctors. And in their world, sickness would be much more threatening than it would be in ours. Certainly a lot shorter life expectancy, a lot shorter lifespan. Certainly not the medical cures. But he still has to remind them that they can include God in their sickness as well. Because they were human like we are human. And just like I will rush to the doctor first when I have something medically wrong. And that is part of God's healing, no question. But they too could leave God out of it. But what he says with the sickness thing is, hey, include others. Is any of you sick? He's been saying, pray, connect to God. Praise, connect to God. Now he says, pull in some other people. Is any of you sick? Call the elders of the church to pray. And it may be that the elders of the church are able to pray. The leaders are able to step outside that sickness that can be all-consuming for us. And there are times where we just can't pray for ourselves. I have been talking to somebody the last few weeks who's just had a cancer operation and has been very controlled by it. And it's so overwhelming, they almost can't pray. And so there are times in life where we just need others to step in and pray. Call the elders of the church. Call others in. But it's also the fact that God likes to show up in our area of need. And yes, we need others to pray, but we also need to invite God's presence. And having others do it with us reminds us that God isn't just, and I turn to the body of Christ, to the people in the church, the other followers of Jesus, and I say, I need help. and God shows up. In this case, the elders come and they pray. The elders come and they bring oil. And the oil is probably two things. Could be actually medicinal in their world, that oil would be used a lot for healing and medicinal purposes. But it could also be just a reminder of the presence of the reality of God's concern. That God is concerned in this, with his people. And oil throughout Scripture is often a symbol of God's blessing and anointing. And so the oil also, while it may have medicinal qualities, it also reminds people that God is present and God is active and has an interest in his people and is interested in this sick person. And so I pray in trouble, I praise in celebration, I get help from others in my point of need. And I would argue this is an example. There will be other times where we include other people. And then James goes on to just talk about some of their realities in their world. Verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will make them well. The Lord will raise them up. God will respond to the prayer of the people. James isn't saying that every prayer will be answered. He's talked about answered prayer earlier in his book. He is simply saying God responds. And it's not that every prayer, that no one will ever die. Obviously, all of us expect to die at some point. But God responds when his people pray, because God is involved. And then he throws in this comment, if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. In their world, more so than in ours, but we still have it. We have this idea, they had this idea, that sin is a common cause of sickness. You see this in the New Testament. We want to disassociate and make it all physical. But my not walking with God introduces the possibility of physical ramifications. And they would have believed that very much. And so James says, even if it's caused by your sin, God will forgive that. Just include people. Just include people. Your sin won't block God's involvement. You can have God involved. So the way to handle that, verse 16, confess your sins to each other and then pray for each other so that you may be healed. If there's a sin cause, just deal with it. It'll be forgiven. God wants to be involved. And how often do I live as if God doesn't want to be involved? As if God isn't that interested, and as if my prayers really won't make a difference. And then he throws in the Elijah illustration. And Elijah in their era had become sort of a folk hero in the Jewish faith. He was an elevated figure from the Old Testament who they held as very important. And James's point is, he was just a man, but he was connected to God. He involved God in life. He lived the with God life. And his prayers changed the weather. So do you think maybe the prayers of righteous people could change your health? Do you think it matters to include God in life? And so James invites the people not only to pray and praise, but to turn to each other and find God in each other and to have God with them. Well, what do we do with this? Couple comments, couple points. I think the first thing is recognize that adversity, one, is part of life. But two, can be from God. That God can bring difficulty. And so I do turn to him in prayer. It's not always an evil presence. It can be God. I pulled a muscle a few weeks ago, and I've been going to a physiotherapist to get this muscle rebuilt. And I want it rebuilt fast. She's not a specialist in fast. But you know, she hurts me. Like, bad, because she is pushing with her instruments on this muscle, and she is working out, you know, what we call knots, what she has big names for, and she is working those things out, and it causes pain. Sometimes God is working things out, and adversity can be the great surgeon cutting deep to fix. And just because there's trouble in life doesn't mean God has abandoned us, but it does mean we can involve God. Is any of you in trouble? Pray. Prayer keeps me from trying to fix it on my own. I am a naturally independent person. Prayer helps me turn away from that independence and that self-centeredness that says I can do it. And it just opens me up to a supernatural presence and to God and his people. I get God's perspective on things. It keeps my own self-interest in check, that I realize, oh, life isn't all about me living pain-free and wonderful. The other comment on this is just the value of the body of Christ, and that's part of where God lives. That we want God to come internally through the Spirit, and he does. Is any of you in trouble? Pray. Is any of you happy? Sing songs. But is any of you sick? Turn to the people, the body of Christ around you, and know that that's where God lives. In this individualistic culture, we need to hear that again. That I need to turn to other people. Just before Christmas last year, I was at church, and one of our habits in our group is that we stop and pray together in the service. And we break into groups of five and six, and we pray. And I was with a group of people, and I was just reminded, almost out of the blue, of a concern about someone in my life that had been just weighing on me, and you wonder about it, and you wonder what response should be. And so I shared this concern with a group, and people prayed about it. And I remember the person who voiced the first prayer in that group. I just remember feeling like, oh, they get it. They understand what I'm feeling with this one. And then over the next few weeks, I kept being reminded by the Spirit and their memory of that prayer time to do some action with this person I was concerned about, to do some things, and I can't go into detail. And over the course of 2 or 3 months, I remember thinking, God actually changed that. And I confess, almost being surprised, right? Because I'm a naturalist, and I think that I have to solve everything, but somehow that corporate prayer was a turning point. And we need to remember that God lives in each other, and we need each other. Yes, we go to the doctors for medical, and this isn't only medical. This is an illustration of including God in life, and we may have other ways that we need that more, but we need each other, and we need God's presence. We turn to each other for help in healing. We turn to each other for confession, dealing with where we're falling short. And in the doing, we find God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, that deals a lot with this idea of living and experiencing God together. That's why it's called Life Together. Talks about these sort of verses as invitations rather than rules. We want to make them rules, and so we hear this, we read this, and we say, oh, I don't do that enough, I feel guilty. But think of it as an invitation. There is a new way to life. You can live with God involved. I can live with God actively interested in me. And I can step into that, or I can just leave it and carry on my own naturalistic path. And God's not going to be offended. I'm going to lose. So I think we need to not hear this just as another rule. Do this. But as an open door, hey, you could step into something different. This with God life is different. And we're learning it because we don't grow up this way. We raise our children, we are raised to be independent, self-sufficient. And then we come to Jesus and he says, oh, be dependent on me and be dependent on other people. And that doesn't fit. But we're called again by James to include God. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Let them sing. Let them call the elders of the church. It will make a difference. And I don't naturally do this. Because our city, I mentioned earlier, just the context of Edmonton and all cities in Western Canada changing so much in the last few years, I've been around Muslims a lot more. I have more Muslim connections and acquaintances. And they pray 5 times a day. I don't have to do that. Good, because I'd be really bad at it. But you know, they pray 5 times a day. And what if, in response to this passage, we said, 1 time a day, I'm going to consciously mark myself with the reminder that God is involved. What if 1 time a day, I set an alarm or I made an occasion where I'm going to stop for 30 seconds and I'm going to say, God is involved. What if at 3 o'clock every afternoon, I stopped for a minute and I said, so how has God been involved? How have I involved God? How have I involved God through prayer, through celebration, through including other people, inviting other people into my struggles? How have I done this? Now, the Muslim approach to prayer can be so routine, and they would be the first to admit that. But it also is a marker. And so I challenge you this week. God is so interested in our lives. Over the last week, I tried to do this. And for me, it was 3 o'clock. Hey, I'm going to just stop. And I'm going to take 30 seconds, a minute, and I'm going to say, so, how is God involved? And we want to get to where we're doing that all the time, but like most things, we have to start somewhere. And so I would encourage you that James invites us to live alert to God all the time, to live dependent on prayer, to see God answer, and you can step into that life. And I would challenge you to do that. Let's pray together. Father God, I am grateful for the reminder that you want to be involved. And we know that's hard for us. You know that's hard for us. So help us to listen to James. To step into a life with you, the with God life that has you active all the time, and us alert to it, and us cooperating. And I pray that you would keep inviting us to that. No matter what our situations, help us to live alert to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.